Success isn't accidental. It's the story you rewrite. The moment you stop living by the script others handed you, everything changes. I'm Raz Patel, and on The Raz Patel Show, we go past the polished personas and into the moments that shape us. We explore identity, reinvention, culture, courage, and the unscripted conversations that reveal how people rise, rebuild, and rediscover themselves. These aren't interviews, they're turning points. The kind that shift perspective and sometimes an entire path. When life reshapes you, when clarity breaks through, when boundaries shift, that's where the real journey begins. The Raz Patel Show, story rewritten, voices awakened, journeys redefined. Welcome to The Raz Patel Show. I'm Raz Patel, and this is where we get honest about the moments that reshape us. Today, I'm sitting with someone who lives at the intersection of strategy and identity, Corey Linder. Amazing, amazing talent. And I am blessed and excited to have you on The Raz Patel Show. And Corey, before we dive right into what marketing and branding is really all about, let's talk about you, right? Because you yourself are a brand. You yourself have come through so many situations to build who you are. So when you are basically in any kind of situation, whether you are swimming, whether you're meeting, whether you're having conferences, or whatever your situation is, obviously you have to introduce yourself. So how do you brand it? How do you market yourself? So let's begin with that, Corey, in mind. Because you wear many hats, right? You're an executive, you're a coach, you're a competitive swimmer. So when you take all these things, all these spices of who Corey really is, how do you want people to understand and say, wow, Corey, this is really her?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's really a lot of fun, so I appreciate it. To answer your question, I think all those identities are not siloed. It's all one core identity. And what I would want people to know is that at the end of the day, I'm a brand storyteller and a coach. Whether it's building brands, whether it's writing books, whether it's coaching from the deck, at the end of the day, what I'm doing is I'm helping people communicate through stories, products, services, whether that's a public brand or their own personal brand, and then building community around that. And I always tell people this, you are more than your current job title. That's what you do. That's not who you are. And you can be amazing at various things. You can be a great mom. You can be a great coach. And it doesn't mean that you're scatterbrained. It just means right. that you're very good at knowing who you are and what you stand for and what you want to be good at.
So how did you, what was the moment in life where you were, this is it. I want to follow the branding route or the marketing route. What made you become inspired to support others and help others?
Yeah, so I think when I graduated college, I got a job at a PR advertising agency in West Hollywood. And I was supposed to promote an online dating service. And this is back in the 90s where online dating service was like, felt like a mail order bride. And nobody wanted to promote an online dating service. It felt scandalous. So I had the happy challenge of having to call reporters and editors and pitch them on this online dating service. And they all hung up. They didn't want to hear it. So finally, I got on the call with the editor of the San Francisco Chronicle, and he said, look, he interrupted me after my 30-second spiel. He said, Corey, I don't promote products here, but I do tell stories. Give me a story. And so I went back to the drawing board, and I said, I'm going to find a story that markets this online dating service. And I found a man and a woman. They had fallen in love. They were living their best life. Wrote a pitch that story. And that was published in the San Francisco Chronicle. It drove a lot of sales for that company. And I just thought, there's something to these stories. And that was almost 30 years ago. And fast forward till now, and I'm still telling stories.
Wow. And, you know, that's a great point about the storytelling, because many folks, when they are sort of bringing themselves to light, right, they really are not sure exactly whether
it's the external aspect of it that they're trying to feature or internal? And when we talk about the, as you know, I focus a lot on the emotional architecture, and which is embedded in the storytelling. So when many people really think about branding and marketing, they automatically go for the external, whereas you start from the internal. So give us a little bit of understanding why it's important to have that emotional factor involved before you can actually storytell externally.
That's a great question. I always believe that stories should make you feel something. And I draw back to a psychological principle of head, heart, hand. What's that one thing you want them to know? What's that thing you want them to feel? And what's that one thing you want them to do? And you can tell them what to do all day. And you can tell them all this information, but if they don't feel it, they're not going to do it. And so knowing that one emotion that you want to inspire them, whether it's curiosity, impressive, friendly, what that emotion is, fear, then you can not only tell them a story, you can make that a compelling story that converts into the action that you want it to go to.
Beautiful. So going back to your coaching, you know, you've coached for years, even during seasons when you weren't even racing. What did staying on deck teach you about leadership and patience? And how did that translate for supporting others?
So many things. I think as a high performance coach, you always want your athletes to win. And I learned that a win looks different for them than it may look for you. And sometimes it's not about winning. Sometimes it's just about showing up and being a pseudo therapist to help them get through their day or through that time in the water. Sometimes it's just listening. Sometimes it's just recalibrating what success means to them. And sometimes it's realizing that the short-term win maybe is not the best thing for them. Maybe it's a long-term win. So helping them figure out what those goals are. And so that translates into the workplace, because sometimes you're not going to have a win in business. And sometimes the win can literally be making someone, a coworker, a direct report, feel like they're doing a good job.
Right. No, it's absolutely true. So how do you work through these type of emotions, Corey, to make that person stand out, especially when they're not secure initially? So how does that coaching come into play to make sure that they are confident in what they're doing?
Yeah. So empathy, realizing, you know, getting in their head and figuring out why are they feeling this way? And then second is giving them grace. High performance people and high achievers are really hard on themselves. And if they don't feel they're at the top, then they feel like they're at the bottom. And so I think it's just allowing them to have grace and making them feel that they're being listened to, they're feeling valued, and that they don't have to win all the time. And you would think that would be common sense, but it really isn't.
So you've worn many hats, Corey. What's a defining career crossroads you hit where the safe move was obvious, but the right move felt quite risky to you?
I love that question because I help people brand themselves and pivot sometimes. And that's always a question that comes up. Do I go with what's safe or do I do something risky? They're in their 50s. You know, retirement's coming up. They have a family to support, but they've always wanted to do something that was challenging. And I was in that situation about 8 or 9 years ago. I found myself without a job. And I was sitting there thinking, do I go back to corporate life where it feels safe, secure, a constant paycheck? Or do I embrace my entrepreneurial spirit and start something that I've always wanted to start? And I realized you don't have to do one or the other. You can do corporate suit versus an entrepreneur. They have a lot of things in common. There's ownership, there's creating things, there's managing teams, and you can do both. And that's what I did. And I went back to corporate life, but I also built some really fun things on the side, and it just became a more fulfilling life.
Wow, interesting. So you've worked across industries and brand types and many leaders, right? What's one early mistake that quietly made you a better leader, quite later.
It probably didn't even quietly make me a good leader. It was a hard lesson. I felt way back in the day, I had this high-powered corporate life, and I was I felt as a leader that I should outperform, that I should be the person working the hardest and the longest and producing the most, because I wanted to set the example. And so I would work 14, 15 hours days. I would be the last to leave the office. I would work on the weekends. And it was just output, output, output. And just like, look at me. I'm doing all this great stuff. You can inspire to do that. And what I realized when I got burned out is that also negatively impacts my team. And that's not sustainable. So I have, and it was a really hard lesson. And what I've learned is to set boundaries, create balance, trust my team, and that I don't have to do everything and I don't have to do it better.
Right. And, you know, that's a great point you've made, Corey. It's about creating a balance and setting boundaries with yourself, because many people, you know, we're all overachievers and we all want to strive to be our best. But just taking a step back to understand, okay, this is my baseline and let's not cross that baseline where it can actually harm me. So wonderfully stated. I love that about it. And so what's one tip that you give when you're coaching many of your clients that, hey, you're crossing that threshold or let's reel you back in?
Yes. I always say schedule a stop day. Schedule rest. Don't wait for rest to automatically show up, because it's not going to. For high performers, high achievers that feel their success is directly measured by what they achieve, resting feels like they're wasting time. But there is so much power in resting. And so what I say is have a stop day. If you can't handle a whole day, do 4 hours, put away your phone and rest and recover. And there's a lot of power in just doing nothing. Schedule to do nothing and you will find that your burnout rate is going to decrease.
Beautifully put. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Raz Patel Show. I'm here with Corey Linder, and now we're getting practical. When the pressure is high and the attention span is low, how do you build a brand people actually trust? I'm framing brand as emotional intelligence in public, clarity, consistency, and courage. We'll talk about differentiation, consumer trust, and how to lead narratives without losing integrity. A lot of leaders I work with struggle with expressing who they are versus who they think they need to be. Corey, when you walk into a brand problem, what's the first diagnostic question you ask to find what's actually broken?
I ask them every single time, who do they serve? And most of them have to think about it, and that's already a red flag. Mm. And sometimes they'll say everybody, and then I say, oh, no, no, no. And if you don't know who you serve and who you sell products to or who you sell services to, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I personal brands. Are you trying to impress a recruiter? Are you an entrepreneur trying to get a customer? Are you a business trying to get an investor? Are you a person that wants to get booked on a TED Talk? How you speak to that person depends on who that person is. Because it's not about what you want to say. It's what they need to hear. And if you don't know who they are, I would stop and figure out what that person looks like. What are their motives? Why would they like you? Why would they hate you? And go from there.
It's all about psychology, Corey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Understanding the person in front of you, reading the room, as I guess you can say.
Yes.
So it's all about a mental game, understanding who's in front of you, what they want, what they feel, and what they are in need of. Because you want, at the end of the day, it's all about selling to them what they need.
Yes.
Correct? If I summarized it well?
Yes. And I think that was really well said. And I think when you're talking about yourself and you're saying all these great things about you, and that person across from you doesn't care, that's, you could sound amazing, but they won't think you're amazing. So it's really figuring out what will move the needle with that person. And then tailoring your message for that.
Absolutely. Well said. So you've led branding across retail, wellness, and tech. What are the trust signals that translate across every industry, no matter the audience? Because you mentioned about reading the room, but what exactly is supporting to translate that across the various industries?
I would bucket that into three things: clarity, consistency, and proof. So clarity is, what do you do? Who do you serve? And why should they care? Consistency is being consistent, right? It's backing up what you do, speaking and looking the way that they're used to. And then proof is figuring out, how can I have my actions support my words? And how can I back up the promise that I've given them? So that's why customer reviews are so important. And I think a good example of that is In-N-Out. Now, as a California native, In-N-Out is very important to us. And whether you love it or hate it, you can't argue with the fact that In-N-Out is very clear in what they do and what they don't do. They don't have the Olive Garden menu that's a book of 1,000 options. They have a few options. They do burgers, they do fries, and whether you want it animal style or not. And they don't stray from that. And they are consistent. And you know what you're getting every time you come. And they don't stray in even the taste. And I'm super excited to announce that Middle Tennessee just got In-N-Outs. I sampled it, and it is how it tastes in California. So perfect example of a brand being consistent.
So that brings me to another point, and I love that In-N-Out analogy. What's the difference between a brand that's loud and a brand that's legible?
We have a lot of brands that are loud. They like to speak and say a lot. They like to talk often. They like to follow the trend. They like to listen for whatever's out there and just talk and talk. And the true test is that brand's doing a lot of talking, and then you ask, well, what does that brand do? And you don't know. Because they're not saying things that resonate with you. They're just talking. Versus a brand that's legible is one that doesn't have to talk a lot. I call it quiet confidence. Less is more. You know what they mean, what they stand for. Like Patagonia, they don't have to do a lot of talking for you to understand who they are.
Right. Yeah. No, that's well put. Well put. So tell me about a time a brand story looked great on paper, but fell apart in real life. What did that teach you about culture and execution?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of us creatives fall in love with a pretty logo and a beautiful color palette. And we think if the logo is strong, our brand is strong. And especially when there's a brand refresh. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with brand refresh. I'm super in support of that. But sometimes you can go off the wayward path. And an example of that is Cracker Barrel, which I'm sure we are all familiar with. They wanted to modernize their logo. It probably looked prettier on paper. It was following the trend of less is more. It was streamlined. And there was a huge backlash. Mm-hmm. And why? Why was there such a backlash? Is because I think Cracker Barrel forgot that consumers love the nostalgia of Cracker Barrel. We don't need a pretty logo. We go into that Cracker Barrel. There's this amazing gift shop with this 80s throwback candy. And you get a meal. And that logo makes you feel like Southern comfort. And so when you mess with the logo, you mess with the vibes associated with that.
Yeah. And the culture. Because that's what everyone can familiarize with, right? Yes. And if it's working, why break it?
Yes. And that goes back to the whole consistency thing of suddenly you're throwing them a curveball and they say, wait, this brand that I love, that I feel so comfortable with, they're giving me all this stuff and I don't understand it and I don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. So, and that's well said as well, Corey. I think you've done a great job of making us understand about the consistency, clarity, and proof. So thank you for that. If someone watching is building a personal brand right now, What's the one sentence they need to be able to say without flinching?
So you live and die by your first sentence. And we always know that's the number one question people say, tell me about yourself. And we know they're going to ask it. And we still struggle. And we start with, well, or I'm a good leader, or I have a proven track record with detail oriented. And we just start with all these opinions about ourselves. And I always say this, that one sentence, if that one sentence can not only describe you, but differentiate and elevate you, that's a home run. And if I was going to brag about you in one sentence, would you want me to say, oh, they're very passionate about what they do. They're a good leader. They work really hard. Or would you want me to say they have 30 plus years experience in C-level roles, helping startups to multinational global brands become billion-dollar empires through sound marketing, strategic partnerships, and strong P&L? And they said, oh, the latter. I said, that's why you got to think through your sentence.
Yeah.
Same with the brand. If you can't describe your brand in one sentence or your company in one sentence, are you a startup? Are you a nonprofit? Are you a corporation? Stop and figure out that one sentence. And it's usually the hardest thing to do because less is a challenge. But once you have that, then everyone's aligned. They're speaking out of the same side of their mouth and you can go from there.
Absolutely. Well said. Is there, can you give us a little bit of a story on, because you've worked across the wellness, the tech, and other industries, and you're a competitive coach as well as a swimmer coach. So I understand that we have these three elements of consistency, proof, and clarity, but is there anything that you've noticed within the various industries that you think still can be different or should be different? Or is it always going to be those three, areas of focus?
I think another area of focus is how you look and how you sound and what your values are. We talked earlier about that internal part of the brand, and that's your value system. Right. And that's what people really connect with is your values. And whether they agree with them or not, companies and brands and people that don't know what their values are fall short in terms of their potential. So whether you're in tech, whether you're in health and wellness, food and beverage, consumer goods, or nonprofit, they all have a mission, they all have a vision, and they all have their values. And that's why when I work with companies, that's the first questions I ask them. What are you doing? What's your metric of success look like? And how are you going to live up to your values and demonstrate that not only externally, and we talk about culture, but internally, so that all your employees are aligned with that?
Right. Yeah. Well said. So how do we manage the aspect of internalizing and make sure that everyone sees who you are with that one sentence, as you mentioned, but still being you? How do you portray that with that one sentence that you're giving off? It's still a bit of a vague understanding for me, just because I'm learning a lot from you and I want to be the best in what I do. So help me out a little bit. How can I make myself feel comfortable emotionally while giving myself that one liner of who I am?
Yeah. So I would ask you, first of all, who are you speaking to? And so if you are speaking to, you're a host, right? And if you're trying to get more hosting gigs and people are trying to book you as a host, that sentence should be tailored towards what they need to hear. So who you are, what you do, why you matter, and why they should care. Ideally, that's all in the first sentence. I'm a podcast host that helps people illuminate their personal brand in ways that amplify their audiences and help them get new opportunities, right? So, so I think it's really tailoring that, and that sentence may differ depending on who you're talking to.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for that, Corey. And we'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm with Corey Linder, and this is my favorite kind of conversation. When the personal discipline becomes the professional advantage, Let's talk about the mindset you've built through coaching and competing. I'm connecting performance psychology, modern leadership, repetition, feedback loops, resilience, nervous system, regulation, and identity during high-pressure seasons. So, Corey, when you're coaching swimmers, how do you help someone rebuild confidence after a bad race? And how does that translate to teams after a bad quarter?
Well, we are all going to have a bad race in life, whether it's in the pool or not. There's only so much we can improve, and we will hit those plateaus. And so immediately when someone has a bad race, and I can tell they're completely down on themselves, I instinctually want to give them a hug, to be totally honest. But after that, I point out the positive things that they did. And it sounds so small, but really is that negative internal voice that we all have to say, oh, we didn't do this, I didn't achieve. And I like to flip the filter very, very quickly and say, I love that you did this and that you did this. And they say, yeah, but I didn't improve my time. I said, yeah, but you showed up and you did this first meet and you were a rock star at it. And all of a sudden that just changes their whole view of that race. And then I remind them of their goals. Look, we may never be as fast as we were when we were young, but don't compare yourself with your younger self. Go find a new goal. And sometimes the goal is just showing up. Sometimes the goal is just not to want to rip your hair out after a swim. And if you think of it that way, then you're always going to win.
Absolutely. So let's go to skills. What's the most underrated performance skill you've learned from the pool? Pacing, recovery, mental rehearsal, or something else?
I would boil it down to two. Consistency. Don't just do it because you feel like doing it, because half the time you're not going to feel like doing it. I mean, if we only could go to school when we felt like it, there would be no one graduating. So show up, even if you're not feeling it, do it anyway. Consistency is the key to getting good at anything. The second one is mindset. Is if you say you can't do it, then you won't. If you say you're not a good swimmer, and that's what you go into the pool at, you will never be a good swimmer. So the power of your mind is the most important part of anything physical.
Well said. And speaking of mindset, you've spent years helping people progress one lap at a time. What does that teach about building a brand that when growth feels slow for them?
So we have a tendency to think of short-term goals and wins. And I always say, have your eye on the prize. And sometimes that's a long-term vision, because sometimes progress is invisible until it shows up. And so when you think of it that way, it's like people who check their weight every day, right? But you look at your growth over time, it just helps you stay motivated, stay inspired. And when you have those hard days, you just remember you're in it for the long term.
Speaking of motivated, so what supports you to be consistent in your motivation, especially when you're tired and, you know, you just feel sluggish? Whether it's in training and in leadership or something else, what keeps that juice flowing?
So a plan and accountability. That's why I wrote Self-Coach Swimmer's Guide. It's little workouts. Because if you get in the water or if you show up to work and you don't have a plan, you're kind of meandering. It's like going on a scavenger hunt without knowing what's waiting for you at the end. You're just looking at the trees and you're not feeling very productive. So a plan is important. And then accountability. I like to, because I am a competitive swimmer, I like to film myself and create. Remember back in the day when MTV had those 80s videos, those music videos? I like to put my swimming to some 80s rock band song and then share it, because people are like, oh, I like it, because it inspires me. And it's a great throwback to the 80s, best decade ever. But it enables me to kind of celebrate.
Were the 80s and 90s. Best years were 80s and 90s.
It was early 90s. And it just makes it more fun as well.
Yes. Yes. And it's all about having fun, isn't it? I mean, that's why you're here, to feel the passion that you have. And when you can feel the passion and have fun in what you do, you tend to excel.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I just turned 50 and I wanted some really cool skills. And I went and became a drummer and joined a rock band within the last year.
Am I going to listen to this, Corey? Am I going to come and get invited to listen to you?
Yes. Yes. I'm going to invite you. Yes. And I'll play Journey, Metallica. And I like doing things that no one really expects of me. So I would love for you to come to one of my...
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I look forward to it. I'm going to hype you up. So right. If you could give one coach's note to high achievers who are burnt out but still performing, such as yourself, you're always performing no matter what age you are, what would you tell them to stop doing immediately?
Well, stop being so hard on themselves. But if you tell a high achiever that... It's like talking to air. They're going to still be hard on themselves. So I always say schedule a rest and tell me one fun thing that you're having, like what's enjoyable for you, because we forget sometimes to have fun. And when you stop having fun, it becomes work, and then work becomes tiring, and then you get burned out. Normally when you get burned out, it's not the physical burnout. You're burned out because you're constantly being disappointed. And so if you just recalibrate, you know, if you recalibrate what brings you joy, then you can never be disappointed.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you for that, Corey. Well said. And because at the end of the day, if you can have fun and enjoy the passion you've actually set out to do, you know, nothing can stop you and you don't get burnt out. It's all up here in your mindset. So I love the way you put it. And I can't wait to hear what the next segment is going to be all about. Thank you. Welcome back to our final segment. I'm here with Corey Linder. And now we're talking about identity, because a lot of people watching feel like there are too many things and they don't know how to package that without shrinking. This segment lands the emotional takeaway, integration. I'm giving and guiding viewers toward clarity, confidence, and a practical way to articulate who they are now, especially after a pivot. In our final segment, I'm going to ask you the question that ties everything together. How do you own a multidimensional identity without confusing the market or losing yourself? Corey, a lot of leaders I work with tend to struggle with who they are versus who they want to be, which really brings us to storytelling, as you mentioned in the past, because at the end of the day, that's what connects everything in branding and marketing. So what's the biggest myth people believe about being multi-passionate, and what's the truth you've lived in order to connect the storytelling?
People think if you have multiple passions and do multiple things that you are scattered or unfocused, and they think you say yes to everything. And the number one question I get is, how do you find all the time to do all that? And they think you say yes to everything. And what I've actually been able to do as I've gotten into my older years is learning how to say yes and learning how to say no. And the things that I say yes to, I'm only going to say yes to it if I can commit to it 100%. I can do it with excellence. If I can't, then I'm out. So I'd rather, and I always tell people this, I'd rather us all be good, amazing at a few things than good at a lot of things. People don't hire you to be good enough. They hire you to be an expert. So find that passion. Find that purpose and become amazing at it. And then people will want to work with you.
Absolutely. Beautifully said. So you build narratives for major brands. In your life, where a brand story, what's the promise you're making to the world right now?
Are you asking what I'm making to the world right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So what I'm very, very passionate about is making people feel better. I like to leave them better than when I found them. I think that's what a Boy Scout of philosophy. And I want them to feel more inspired, more encouraged, more uplifted, more supported. And to me, that's my metric of success. And beautiful. That's really what I do everything with, whether it's coaching, whether it's leading, whether it's, you know, consulting, whether it's volunteering. I love seeing people a little bit better than before.
Nice, nice. Well said. So what's one boundary you've had to set to protect your energy as your visibility and responsibility when it's expanded? Because you've had to work through all these things. So how do you keep that energy going and maintain peace within yourself?
I really protect my time and my resources and who I surround myself with. I'm less about quantity and more about quality. And I schedule with me time. I'm an introvert. I'm a very loud introvert. So I really need to protect my energy. And I have a consistent bedtime. I make sure that I have me time. I go on Corey trips just with me so I can reset. I've gone to some amazing places, by the way, just where I can just get away from the world and protect my energy and come back refreshed. Nobody wants half of you. They want full of you, and you can't show up full time all the time. So
we want the entire Corey.
Yes, I want to be the entire Corey, and a lot of the times I'm not. So whether that's getting more sleep, whether it's surrounding people, I don't like drama. I don't like people that bring me down. So sometimes it's just saying no to that.
Yeah. And speaking of bringing the entire you, if someone is pivoting careers or reinventing themselves, what are the three building blocks of a message that feels honest and compelling?
I always ask people, and a lot of people seem to pivot usually when they've like their first responder and now they've retired, but they retired early and they want a new career, or a mom that's become an empty nester and she wants to do something. And I always say, what's your purpose? What's your passion? What's your potential? Let's find the intersection of that. And then let's figure out how to make profit. So it's like four P's. Mm. And I say, if you could do one verb all day, what would be that verb? Would you be speaking? Would you be mentoring? Because we get stuck in job titles and workplace environments. But really, what do you love doing? And you may be a good project manager, but you might hate project management. Then that's not for you. So for me, I love storytelling. So if I have anything I'm doing that doesn't involve some type of storytelling or communicating, I don't know if that's the right thing for me to pivot to.
Right. You're just knowing yourself deep down, who you are. And that's what's going to help you to excel. So what's the legacy you want your work to leave, Corey? Not in metrics, but in people.
Yeah. And it goes back to just helping people feel more confident and more inspired. And that's why I love coaching swimming. I have swimmers that will tell me, you know what, look, people always told me I wasn't going to be a good athlete. And for them now to realize they have that aha moment, or when I'm branding people and they never thought about their achievements. And when they realize, wow, I look really great on paper. I'm so excited for that. Or when, you know, our company creates a new brand and people are buying that brand. It's so exciting to see. I love creating something from nothing to something and doing that in a way that positively impacts people. So, because again, it's all about impacting people. And if you're not doing it positively, then why are you doing it?
Absolutely. So, Corey, you've summed up beautifully about what's marketing and what's branding and storytelling at the top level. Is there anything that we've left out, what sells yourself basically, that we may not have covered?
I love going against the grain. I love breaking the stereotype and breaking the mold. And I was always told when I was young, drums are for boys. I was told you can't be a good mom and a good corporate executive. And I wanted to prove that that can all be wrong. And if you put in the work, you have the commitment, and you stay the course, you can do whatever you want. I mean, I may not be high school prom queen ever again. Not that I was, but I would never be one. But there, if you have a realistic vision for yourself and a plan, you can go
for it.
Super far.
Yeah. And to me, you're a beautiful queen. So
Oh, thank you.
It's
so
not about
nice.
The label. It's what we see in you. And you are beautiful. And don't you forget it.
Thank
you. Corey is amazing. And she's a great drummer. I can't wait. And a swimmer.
I'm getting better every day. But you know what, though? I used to be a classical pianist. And drums are so much harder. Who would have thought,
but
right?
So you. It's so you. I can see it.
Yes, because I like to Corey customize the songs and not follow all the rules and do a little fill when I feel the need to do it. Versus in classical piano, you have to go exactly how it's written. So I love being able to be yourself and authentic and passionate. And you know what? Life's short. Go. And I've seen people in their 80s and 90s and they're starting swimming and they're competing and they're breaking state records in their age group of 102. It's never too late to do something that you love. And think
well,
that's my major thing I leave with everybody is it's never too late to start and it's never too early to start.
And I love your perspective and you won my heart and definitely... Folks, we got to follow Corey and we will definitely enjoy and reach out to you and get coached. And I think you have a book coming up. So we are looking forward to that as well. Right, Corey?
Thank you. Yes. I published a book that meets anybody where they're at in terms of swimming, whether they're new, whether they're a triathlete, whether they're a seasoned swimmer. And it's like a recipe book of workouts. And so if you just feel like doing freestyle, you can do that. If you want to swim in your backyard pool and you don't know how long that pool is, you can do that. And it's called the Self-Coached Swimmer's Guide. So thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing yourself to us and being part of the Raz Patel Show and looking for many more conversations with you. So appreciate it.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been really, really, really fun.
Corey, thank you for bringing both truth and strategy today. I'm walking away with this. Clarity isn't about choosing one identity. It's about aligning your story so the world can understand your value and you can live it without performing. To everyone watching, if you're in a season where you're becoming someone new, don't rush to label it. Build a story, build a discipline, and trust the process. I'm Raz Patel, and this is the Raz Patel Show. I'll see you next time.